in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Samuel chapter 27. As we've had a long psalm to read, we have a very short chapter in 1 Samuel 27. First Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thy sight, in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen, and the asses and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, Whither have ye made a road today? And David said, Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, Lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Okay, so what do we see here? Let's try to get an understanding of what's going on. Remember in the last chapter that Saul said, David, I'm not going to chase you around anymore. You're going to be king, I know it, and so I'm just not going to bother you anymore. David said, uh-huh. And so what do we see David saying here in verse 1? Yeah, someday I'm going to die by the hand of Saul unless I do something about it. Saul's going to continue chasing me. I know what he said, but Saul's going to continue chasing me around. So he goes over to Gath, to Achish, the king of Gath. Well, we might remember something about Gath, that that's where Goliath was, and that Goliath was that giant that David had slain. And as we read a couple of chapters back, we recognized that, you know, the Gittites, the people from Gath, they didn't have short memories. They remembered that. They remembered this guy, David, and how he had bested their champion. Achish, I think, is taking a much more strategic view of this. He's saying, okay, if this guy bested our champion, maybe we could have him on our side, and that would be good. And so, it seems Achish gives David an opportunity to live in and among the people of Gath. And David says to him, I don't need to dwell in the royal city. Why don't you give me a place in the country? Since this might be a reproach to you, O king, give me a place out in the country. And, you know, we won't be under the microscope of being in town with you. And then any reproach that you might get, I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but I think this is David's strategy here. Any reproach that you might get, it'll be alleviated because we'll be out in the country and the alliance between you and I will be low-key, under the wire. Is that what David has in mind? Not really. David really has a mind that he's going to continue killing the enemies of God. All the time he's even outside of Israel, he's going to continue to fight the Lord's battles. And so he doesn't really want Achish to know about all of that. He would rather Achish believe that he has attacked his own people and become odious in the eyes of the nation of Israel. And so Achish is going to say to himself, he's made himself odious to Israel, and now he'll serve me forever. So I can have David, that mighty David, the one who slew Goliath of Gath, and he'll be on my side. So, again, we have some different purposes here that are working, different machinations that are working in the minds of these men. What is David doing? David is saying, we don't want to stay in the royal city because I don't want you to know where I'm going every day. It's not necessary for you to know what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, because David is very knowledgeable and he understands that Achish would not approve. Neither would Achish's advisors. And frankly, we're going to see that in just a little bit as we get toward the end of 1 Samuel. So, with all of that said, then, David gets Ziklag. Now, let's keep in mind that the Lord's providence is in all of this, that this land of the Philistines really does belong to Israel. The Lord has given it to them, and the Lord will eventually give all of that land to Israel. So, David moves out to Ziklag, and the writer here, the prophet, is careful to tell us that now Ziklag pertains to the kings of Israel ever since that day. In other words, that's just one piece of the land that the Lord, through His providence, ceded back to Israel, like the rest of the land should have been. So here's David then in Ziklag, and he goes out and he makes an incursion, a war incursion with his 600 men, and well, there are three places that he hits. He hits the Geshurites, the Gezrites, and the Amalekites. And for all of those locations, the Gezrites is, well, that's the most difficult to pin down. Some people would say Gezer, but it doesn't really fit. So most scholars just throw up their hands and say, we don't know who the Gezrites were. But for the rest of them, we know what's being spoken of there. And David goes out and he invades them. And notice what he does. He kills everyone. And why does he kill everyone? Well, he kills everyone because he knows that what he's told Achish is not the truth. And he doesn't want anyone coming back and telling him something different. Now, let's understand that the original command to the Israelites was to do exactly that. So David has not gone beyond the word of God here, but his motivation for doing what God commanded is not the right motivation. I know that there are some that would want to give David a break here. It's hard to do that. He has deceived Achish. He's lied to him. And then he's gone out and he's done the right thing. But we don't hear really the right reasoning in David. What he said to his men was that we need to kill all of them because we don't want any of them to tell us. So there are several things that we can do to make use of here. The first is, like we've seen with David before, David's not a perfect man, and he often lies. He often commits the fallacy of a situational ethic. He thinks that he can do evil that good may come. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 3 about people that say of him, we say, let's do evil that good may come? What does he say about them? He says their damnation is just, doesn't he? If someone says about you, here's a guy, that Pastor Riddell, I've heard him preach. You know what he preaches? He preaches, let's do evil that good may come. Paul said, if those people say that about me, their damnation is just. So let's get that straight, that that's not a scriptural ethic. That what David is doing, that he's doing evil that good may come, it's not a scriptural ethic. David is wrong here. He's out of accord with the commands of God. The second thing that we want to notice of David here is that oftentimes people do the right thing for the wrong reasons. But remember that perfect obedience is 3 by 3, and we need the right motivation for it to be a right act. So we've just passed the end of the year here, and we have all those controversies of should a civil magistrate set up a creche, a manger scene on the city hall front porch. And we find ourselves in agreement with atheists who say no. We say no because it's a violation of the Second Commandment. They say no because they want every vestige of religion scrubbed out of the public square. They want the right thing, but they want it for the wrong reasons. David does the right thing here, but for the wrong reasons. So let us examine not only our actions, and we do have a tendency, we were talking, some of us at the break today, about the pragmatism of Western culture. We're often very pragmatic. Oh, well, you know, it worked. It's okay then. No. No. The Lord is at work in the means, and outcomes belong to Him. Let's remember that as we move along. All right, so then, so Achish believed David, that he had made his people, Israel, utterly to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant forever. Well, it turns out that Achish, while the king in Gath, was not able to control his own cabinet. So that when they came to him, when it was time to go to war with Israel, in just a few chapters hence, we'll find that they say to Achish, no, you're not taking David with you. I know you've had a romantic idea about him serving you forever, but he doesn't get to go to war with us against Israel. And of course, that was indeed the best thing for Achish and for David, was it not? That was the Lord providentially protecting his servant. All right, thus ends the reading then in 1 Samuel chapter 27.